Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
It's almost to me that he surrounded himself with some very funny people like you and Anthony and the comedians that would come on. But he was great at the fighting and great at the bitter. He was kind of an unhappy dude. And maybe it sounds like he still might be.
Well, here's the Opie's fatal flaw. Is that he can be, there's two versions of Opie.
He's got a camera that he puts down in the ear canal, and he takes this apparatus, looks like what you would expect, it's got the little cone on it.
Sure.
And he looks in my ear, and he says, oh, dear. Oh, my
Uh-oh.
God.
Oh, no.
But I get too impatient. Like, literally, if I ask someone for an ass photo and they don't send it, I block them. I'm like, I can't keep operating.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
A technical word. We have had a crash in our phone software this morning. So the Wide Open Wednesday, unfortunately, has been a little messed
up. It's partially closed.
As Pony is working on it right now, I'm looking at all these computer screens that have all these numbers. And all I see is the phone that he's like working to test on says Glend. G-L-E-N-D. I can't get that out of my...
Are you having
Glenn.
Your mom help you test the phones?
No.
That's
he's,
so sweet.
That's call his phone.
Call the phone,
that's
Mama.
That's so sweet.
Call the phone, Mama. Yeah. Oh, well, it's the phone he uses. It doesn't belong to him, quite
you're
obviously.
He's on a family plan.
Well, you know what? Maybe the phone belongs to him, but certainly not the number.
He's not the only one. This is a sidebar, but our friend Drab T-shirt from Big O and Dukes and the Junkies in the Morning, he is such a skinflint that he called his brother, who lives in another state, to create a family plan to get on a family
hey,
plan for
right.
a carrier.
I'm all for that.
So
he
has his brother, who's older, by the way, paying
right.
him through Venmo every month for his phone bill. That's how cheap he is.
Pony, I know you're busy right now, but is it possible mm-hmm. you could get me your mom's Netflix password?
Sure, it's Glend.
Glend!
So my sincere apologies, but we got a lot to talk about.
Yes.
And before we get the show started, we're gonna have an interview. And Rob, we're going to move that to the third break, not the second break.
Okay.
Because I'll come back after this.
That's fine.
Today we got a special interview with Jim Norton. And Jim Norton from the Opie and Anthony
oh,
Show.
Yeah.
And now Jim Norton, Jim and Sam. On Sirius, and a big history with the Don and Mike Show, and feuds, and his feud
That's
with us.
Juicy.
And it's
Pony,
notify
Jim Norton.
To,
we won't
talk to him.
Notify Jim Norton. We won't be calling him until the break afterwards.
Right away.
Thank you.
So I wanted to say that'll be coming up because I have to get out of my system. My greatest source of personal embarrassment in the history, in recent history. So I have to share that story. That'll be coming up as well. So
okay.
If you're keeping track of the show, want to talk about the news of the day down here and just say, please send your thoughts out to the people in the panhandle of my home state because this is massive. This is something that a couple of weeks ago, I remember looking at the tropics. I watched the tropic forecast every single day. When you live in Florida, it's what you do. You look down here, and I remember seeing this thing down in the Lesser Antilles, and they were talking about
the Lesser Antilles.
A 30% chance of development into a tropical system.
Oy.
And overnight, it seems this thing has crossed across the bathtub that is the Gulf of Mexico. And it's exploding, and just keep your fingers crossed.
It gains power over the water, right? So when it hits
landfall, warm water.
Yeah, warm water.
They are doing such a better job now, even in short. And this is the type of storm that 10 years ago, and I mean it, 10 years ago, this would have been much more dangerous simply because they would not have seen it coming. It developed so quickly, and it exploded. And I remember I did a hurricane documentary, and I retained a little stuff because I live down here, about... They know now these paths, these tracks, which they've had the track for a week as far as knowing exactly where it's going to go. It is pretty disconcerting to look out onto a map and say, if I got in a boat and I took a long fishing trip out off the coast of where I live down here, I'd be in the middle of that thing.
Yeah.
It's terrifying how you also realize, as big and as nasty and as monstrous as these hurricanes are, that it's still a tiny little area that gets really impacted by it. It's terrifying. It really is.
You're right, Mike. When I see the maps on, and not, I'm not talking about CNN. I'm talking about the Weather Channel. I'm talking about real concrete data.
Mm.
I look at that NOAA radar and I said, well, all the paths that they're showing me remind me now of a Waze map that says, this is your alternate route.
Yeah.
This is your alternate route. But there is a cone, like all storms, and you say, okay, this is the cone where it may or may not hit.
And data and gets more and more, and gets more and more advanced how they can collate data, and they've got a larger history to call on. Now, I have a selfish question, but I need to know. I watched the track pretty closely this morning on the news, and we saw basically who's going to get hit the worst.
Right.
Will it get down far enough to you to put you guys in sort of danger?
It's already passed. Okay. It's already passed us. The thing that freaked me out, because you look at the path and you get so used to these things, you're like, okay, we'll do that. And then yesterday evening, I'm watching the news and they were talking about storm surge down here, all the way down in Naples. That's where the size of these things affects people all along the coast of Florida. So we have had significant flooding on the coastal areas down here, but not the kind of flooding they're going to get up in the panhandle.
Right.
Let me explain what happens when you're in the middle of one of these things, and it could be worse up in the Florida panhandle where they're saying the worst storm they've got. And by the way, if I can just throw one little thing in here, hey, climate deniers and people, you getting familiar with that worst ever? Biggest ever, fastest, never before happened. That's what they said would happen.
Okay? Sure.
That's what they said. And I was reading an article yesterday that we have to get our act together. And because we've got, I think, a decade where there's
12 years.
2030.
Yeah, 2030, we have to do this. And it's stunning when you watch this. The thing that happens is you've got an orderly evacuation. Everybody seemed to pay attention to this one. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that was the case. Panama City was a kind of a ghost town, and people got out. So the forecasting is getting sophisticated. This happened rapidly. This storm just appeared. It's going to move rapidly as well. That's a blessing.
Yeah.
But the people that got out of Dodge, you always have, it's gasoline right away. That's the first thing that gets boned, is people are all getting gas. And you don't realize this unless you live through something like a storm, that these gas stations where everybody in America can roll into any gas station and get gas whenever they want to, they are designed for that to happen. What they're not designed for is for everybody to get gas and fill their tanks up at once.
Right.
And when that happens, bam, the supply goes boom, poof, in an instant. And that's what they deal with. And then the next thing
they can't get another truck down there because of all the traffic and all the hurricane nonsense.
And the trucks aren't going to go when they're in the middle of a storm. So for the people in the panhandle of Florida, all the people around Panama City and that area, Pensacola, Apalachicola,
John Denver knew what he was doing because he hoarded gas.
Yes, he had it under his home.
Yes, he did.
It under his home.
Is that why I heard the term ass, gas, or grass, everybody pays?
That's right, Mike. That's my policy. Everybody pays.
And I would just like to say, there's no need for anybody to worry about me, because there are a few people that have expressed concern for my safety. Adam Sternberg, I thought you knew where I lived, and you can read a map. There's really no need for me to come east and live with your family for the next 2 days.
Peanut the Rabbit.
I appreciate that.
That's a fantasy of his.
Oh, and speaking of your address, Mike, I got a late breaking text from Paulie from Brooklyn.
Fantasy of his.
Asking.
Jesus Christ.
He puts the lotion Paulie's on his pay the skin. Bet?
How Paulie's going to pay the bet off? We'll talk about that later. That's fine.
He asked for your home address. I wasn't feeling all that comfortable in divulging that.
You can send it, of course.
Oh, all right.
All right.
Paulie's a friend, apparently.
You're talking about that area right there in Panama City Beach that's going to get really, really whacked.
Is it La Vela, that big club? Luckily, it's before spring break, Mike. They can rebuild.
Oscar, luckily is not the word you want to really lay on this thing.
Well, we're just talking about
luckily, there's
the
no
silver,
luck right now
lining.
When it's about...
Yeah, it's Johnny Silver
when
Lining
it's
over
just
there.
Just hit right
spring
now.
Spring break's around the corner. We got a month.
I keep my fingers...
We'll take care of it.
They'll be out of gasoline and baby oil.
In Callaway and Apalachicola and Panama City and Miramar Beach, all the way up to Destin and Fort Walton Beach, all that area. Please think of those.
Is Miramar where Top Gun is? Or is that San Diego?
I think that might be San Diego, but Pensacola has jets too. They can easily get away. They've already gotten them out. They got them out like 4 days ago.
They were
pulling the jets out. Not that I pay attention to every detail of this, Oscar, but I do. I really, really do.
The a-hole program director that fired me from my college radio station was from Fort Walton Beach.
Oh, really? It's a beautiful area. I've never been to that part of the state, and I've always wanted to go, I will go.
I wish all the people of Fort Walton Beach well, but I still hope he's miserable.
Why do you still hate him? Why'd he fire you again?
Because he was jealous. He found sort of a small violation.
Loophole?
Yeah, and he had me out there. And he also hated that I got better grades than him.
Rob Spiewak can hold a grudge. Something certain people should be aware of, right?
I do know this. Mike, you're right. Right is rain.
Not too much rain.
But I do know that this.
His By the name, way, that's the way it'll be for the foreseeable future.
For the rest of our lives.
Like yeah, maybe. Yeah,
and absolutely. You know what? I don't care if people know his name. His name is Robert Fleskus. And he's the only person that I've ever had a graphic dream about murdering somebody. And I remember in the dream feeling the bones in his neck give way under my thumbs.
Oh, my God.
What was the drama?
The violation was this. It was a hotly contested WVCW election. He got general manager, and I got program director. It could have gone either way.
Did you want GM?
I did want GM. It could have gone either way. And so that summer, between the election and the beginning of the school year, I drove down to do a shift at WVCW, just, because it was fun.
Summer shift.
Do a radio show. And I don't know who would hear it because the buildings were, it was on Carrier Current.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing it, and what I found on his desk were the applications for the upcoming jocks.
Ooh.
And so I read and made fun of some of the applications, and he went right to our student advisor, and she said, well, that's no good. You're banned from the radio
station.
It's
on your permanent record.
Yes. Just before we get out of here, for the people and what they're dealing with, this is unprecedented. Florida Panhandle, Florida, Big Bend Category 4 landfall expected to make landfall along Florida's northeastern Gulf Coast. It's happening right now as we speak. Category 4. Has never made landfall in the panhandle. Catastrophic storm surge, destructive winds will occur near the landfall in the panhandle. Over 1 million power outages will occur, not just near the coast, but also inland. Rainfall flooding also. This is from weather.com that says, Hurricane Michael is headed for a catastrophic, unprecedented Category 4 strike on the Florida Panhandle in Big Bend with a massive storm surge and over 100 mile per hour winds. This is going to be during the day. You're going to probably have footage of this that you haven't seen in a long time. It seems that these things always seem to really arrive when it's dark. This is not going to be the case.
I take everything back about spring break.
Thank you, Oscar. Well said.
If Michael makes landfall as a Category 4, which it's going to, it will be the strongest hurricane to ever come ashore along the Florida Panhandle in records dating back to 1851.
Horrifying.
Residents of the area have ever seen a hurricane this strong.
In the next 12 years, look for it to get worse and worse and worse. That's really sad.
You've already been told if you didn't evacuate and you're out there listening to my voice, you hunker down until your power goes out.
We have some listeners in Pensacola. They've called. Sure.
Before. Yeah, and there it is. I'm looking at the map right there, and it's a kissing the coastline, and boy, when you look at that, and we just kind of breathe a sigh of relief down here, but our prayers do go out to everybody in Florida, and really, it just
What's
sucks.
What's the old adage? You pay for the sunshine?
Right. Mike, is
Oscar
that the
Santana,
old adage?
Thank you for your incredible sensitivity, and yes, his soul is filled with refuse. Thank you very much.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Oh, man, I can't tell you what hotel I'm staying at, but there are two trees involved. They said, let's call this hotel something tree. So they had a meeting. It was quite short. How about a tree? No, double tree. Hell yeah. Meeting adjourned. I've never stayed at a bed and breakfast, and I don't think I would, because I figure you stay at a bed and breakfast, by the end of the day, you start to get hungry. Is that all you got around here? Then you need to direct me to a chair lunch dinner. I'm going to open up a chain of Cherry Lunch Dinners. Put them right across the street from the bed and breakfast. Say, come on over about 1. But you have to leave at 11. Because you're not sleeping in the chair.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
From our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., in the Podcast Village Studios, welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, or TMO as to our friends, is a worldwide radio show and podcast with a loyal following of listeners who get it. And if you're listening right now, you do too. TMOS always ready to hear from you with a weekly mailbag, our wide open Wednesday phone calls. Our show is an interactive experience, and we love our audience participation. So please let us hear from you all over the world. The Mike O'Mara Show on now, and brought to you by our number one guy out in Northern California, Alex Papp.
Yay.
He loves TMOS. He told us so. If you're a Northern Californian, Alex Papp loves you too. Of all the people in the world, he picked you in Northern California.
Look at his eyes. He chose you. What are you doing, you maniacs?
Kill Alex.
Alex, that was a Rosemary's Baby commercial for you. Now, if you want to buy a home, rates are going up. You know that. You've heard that. And it's a concern for everybody.
He has his father's rates.
He has his father's rates. They're going up.
What are you doing to the rates, you maniacs?
Hail rates!
Satan raises the rates, and his name is Lucifer. Anyway, what are we doing to Alex Papp here?
And his name will be Alex.
Alexander will make it easy from finding the perfect home, writing an offer, working through the home inspections, even finding you the best lender for your loan and pre-approval. Alexander Papp rated 5 out of 5 stars on Zillow, truly a realtor.com. Stop looking at homes online. Give Alex a call on his personal cell phone, 916-276-2129. That's 916-276-2129. Find your next home today. He's licensed in the entire state, but he focuses exclusively on Northern California.
He wants to hear from you.
From Wheatland to Rockland, Auburn, Sacramento, everywhere in between. Stop running. Call Alex, the NorCal Realtor today. 916-276-2129. BRE-019-86031. Prado Real Estate. Buy a home and get a fruit cake. Ta-da!
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 So are we, maybe tomorrow we can come in and just do a show without psychotherapy beforehand.
Is I think that might
happen?
Be nice.
Oh,
sure.
I'm ready for that. I'll be ready. Just want to go. Both of you should know that. All right. I
appreciate the interns getting the couch out of here just in time for the show. Yeah.
We will have an interview later in the show with Jim Norton from formerly of ONA and a very, very funny man. And he'll be joining us. Not as yucky as more of a trip down memory lane.
Yeah.
And a little more psychoanalysis in the great dysfunctional world of
radiophile, you do not want to miss this.
Oh, I think you're going to enjoy yourself.
So Jimmy Norton's coming up on the show. I wanted to share my day at Costco a couple of days ago.
Did you buy some steaks?
I should say about a decade ago, those that love me began to, you know, regularly complain, and my coworkers probably would do the same thing, about the fact that I certainly hear everything on the show because I'm wearing these giant headphones, and that might be part of the problem. So I remember back in the day, we had an audiologist come in and test Don and Buzz and me. And I remember feeling so good because you had Buzz, who was older, and you had Don, who I could hear his headphones halfway down the hallway.
I could follow the show from his headphone bleed. That's true.
And I was sitting there going, I'll have no problem. And I remember, they came back with the hearing test, and your boy here had the worst hearing of anybody on the show. But it was not hearing loss that was debilitating.
Right.
Flash forward to last year. I'm out and about, and I see this, you know, you're in South Florida, so it's not like you can't spit and find, you know, wound care and hearing aids.
What's more common down there, Mike, in your neighborhood? Is it hearing aids or Hi-Li?
No Hi-Li here.
Oh, okay.
That's on the other side.
Oh, sorry.
So hearing aids would be the answer to that. So I go to this place, I think it was called Zounds, and they
Is that
do,
a Sounds?
It's called Zounds.
Zounds.
Do you know that's a Shakespearean word? It means by God's wounds.
Really?
Yes. It's like
and
a,
I go in last year, and he does this quickie little hearing test, and he said you're fine. And I remember getting out of the car and going, ha 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 ha, you do mumble,
mumble jumble,
and coming home and saying to Carla, I'm fine, and she looked at me like without any hesitation, no. Not the case.
It's amazing. But I let it go. Zounds does such good work.
Zazu, zazu,
zazu, zazu, zazu.
So flash forward to Brooklyn, New York. Brooklyn, New York, 2018. Yes. Mike O'Mara goes to visit his daughter, sitting in Brooklyn, hanging out, going into the East Village, partying until 3 in the morning, damaging his body, getting a head cold to come back to Florida. Anyway, so I'm sitting with Catherine, and we're in a diner having breakfast the morning that I left. And she says, Dad, get your hearing checked. And I was like, because Catherine talks like this. This is what I hear when Catherine's talking. And I said, what? I said, Catherine, what? She said, Dad, get a hearing aid. And I said, no, honey, no. And then I get back and tell Carla that. She says, no, you should have it checked. So we go to the big box store for a little family outing to buy toilet paper.
Sure.
And I see this ad that says, these fabulous discounts on for the hearing impaired. And it's down here. And I said, all right, I'll check it out. I'll check it out. And do you hear what I hear?
When to the little land.
Do you hear what I see?
Well, you can see fine. I just like the front part of that record, but do you hear?
My name is Rush Limbaugh. I go to the place, and it's very, it's Costco-y.
Oh, it's like where you get your eyes done, you get your ears done.
Yeah, I got the glasses frames put back into my glasses, and then I, walk over there, and I said, hey, I'm trying to be lighthearted about it, because this is not stress-inducing for me. None of this has been stress-inducing. And so I walk in, and I said, well, you have to make an appointment. I said, I'll make an appointment, and then last week, I go and I see the guy and I walk in and the first thing he says, all right, let's take a look at your ear. And he's got a camera that he puts down in the ear canal and he takes this apparatus. Looks like what you would expect. It's got the little cone on it.
Sure.
And he looks in my ear and he says, oh, dear. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
And he shows me on the camera what appears to be like a wax dam from the 1800s, right? I said, look at that wax. He said, no, that's not wax. He said, that is dead skin that everybody gets in their ear, but it happens to be right there in your ear area. And he said, I can't do the test. I'm not legally able to do the test. You're going to have to make an appointment and go get that clean.
I hate to get graphic here, but was it like a mixture of dead skin and wax? So it made like a super polymer that stayed in your ear? Because I would think dead skin would sort of flake
and fall. Like a human carbon fiber.
Or a human concrete. Like sort of
Let
like
something
from Dairy
Queen. Let me tell you what it looked like, Rob Spirek. I'll tell you what it looked like.
All right.
Okay?
Flex seal?
All right. I'll tell you the color and the consistency of what it looked. It looked as though if there had been a dead mosquito in it, you could have siphoned out the blood and created a velociraptor.
No expense was spared.
No expense was spent. We found this amber. We found this chunk of amber in Mr. O'Mara's ear. So the guy says, I can't do it. Got to go to a doctor can do it. He said, or you could do it. And
gotta dig
he
it
said,
out.
You could do it at home. But so I said, so I have to leave now? I said, before we just finish this discussion, I say this to him. So could we just have a discussion? Could I just use the bathroom for a minute? Because he's telling me that if I dig,
yes.
He's not telling me that, but he's telling
me.
He's
like, hey, old man, clean your ears.
I said, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I kind of looked at him. I don't know whether he got it or not, but I kind of looked at the guy. I said, I'll be right back. Let me just in. We'll finish this up and I'll reschedule. So I walk out and I think I'm transparent. I'm like, can I borrow a Q-tip? And I go down and I go to the Costco room and I'm just like,
you have to leave and go to the public restroom.
I go in there and I'm digging. This is on my own. I did this on my own.
Is it a great restroom? Does it have the Dyson hand dryers and everything?
I don't know, Rob. I don't remember. So I dig and dig and dig and, to the point of like, when you dig so far in your ear,
you gag.
Cough.
Yeah.
And so I get done with that and I go back in and I said, would you mind taking a look back in there? He's like, what did you do? I'm like, oh. I did. And he said, okay, all right, go ahead. We'll finish it up. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten the obstacle out of the way. And then
up a Q-tip that looks like a Tootsie Pop.
The testing begins.
What came out first?
A tiny little piece of skin. The dead skin is what it was. And
how much are you shedding? I picture a rattlesnake.
I don't know, Oscar. It was there. It was in my canal. It looked like amber. It was disgusting.
It was is in my canal.
But I tell you, you should make a cane clean out of my it. I clean my ears regularly, and I had cleaned my ears even that morning, getting out of the shower, and I dug in with this thing, and I couldn't, and I pulled it out, and there's nothing there, and so I dig a little further, and there's nothing, and then I go.
Yeah, so when you Q-tip in the morning. And the biggest lie of all is when Q-tips say never put them in your inner ear canal.
Yeah, right. Whatever.
I mean,
okay.
You got to do it. So
I'm
you,
doing damage.
So
I'm
you're
getting,
clear.
I
so think you're clear.
You're clear. Yeah.
No, as a matter of fact, I put this Q-tip to get this dead skin. I put it in so far that I lost some memory. So anyway, I put this thing in there, and
we'll
I go
fix
back.
Fix that say, after okay. your hearing.
Let me take a look. Well, and he looks at me. He gives me a dirty look. I'm like, come on. I just want to do this today. So he does the test, and he finds out that on one side, I have some moderate to heavy hearing loss, which means I'm a candidate. And the other side, I'm really in bad shape. You know, I think it's the right was better than the left. And it's not that, you know, and he says, yeah, you're a candidate. And I said, that means what I think it means. Yeah, you're a candidate. So it's hearing aid time for your boy. Not all the time. But, you know,
when he said you were a candidate, did you start thinking about 2020 and your platform?
You said you have some money? What?
So what was it a standard strap on headphones and listen for the tones type hearing test, or how did they do it?
It was tones. It was vocalism. It was, you know, it was vocalists that I hear. You know, it's just like cat money. Perpetuity. You know, it's just like stuff. He didn't use perpetuity, but it's they get, and it's. But the thing I remember is next to the douche that did it a year ago that came in and said, "Hey, let me blow in your ear. You're fine."
Sound.
This was a thorough, detailed, free hearing test that I got, and it was extraordinarily thorough with tones and with sounds and with looking in your ear with a camera and finding all that stuff and an incredibly detailed graphic chart. And then it went on to the, you know, you get, we're going to see about hearing it. He said, I said, okay. And I was cool with that.
Yeah, but you,
until he said, you know, let me put this little tone, this little, electrode on the back of your ear, like behind your ear, yes, and see if you hear this. And he said, okay. I said, why are you doing that? Well, he said, because certain hearing aids are better for certain hearing loss. And I said, ho, hold on. I will not be the 85-year-old man that has the thing on the back of my ear.
A loop over?
I'm not going to be. I said,
Is it an ocular implant?
I'll deal with it. Yeah. Uh-huh. I'll deal with not hearing. I will deal with not hearing. That's fine, but I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be like the guys that ride their bicycles at 4 miles an hour down here just going, hello, that's a peach. I said, if you can get one, you can get me a little miracle ear that I pop in there. Even if you miracle give me something ear that looks like a stage monitor,
I'll be fine with that, but I'm not going.
Did he actually strap the thing to the back of your neck?
Yes.
It sound like this.
Oh, God, no.
What troubles me most about this story, I'm pleased you're getting a hearing aid. You know, my father has them in each ear.
Yeah, but
it's not a big deal. You get used to it.
Mike gets a pass because of his profession.
He said I have musicians and people in the radio business. This guy's 50-something. He's been doing it a long time. He said, I have had 28-year-olds come in that are in your line of work that that require this.
But the thing that troubles me is Zounds is an outfit, and probably a second-tier outfit, that sells hearing aids. Why wouldn't they at least lie to him and try and sell him?
No, because they're honest, Rob. Because they're honest. They are very, very honest. So,
and Costco has a lot to lose. They got to figure out if they can get the wax out. They can't even do that.
You know what? No, that he can't do that. That's not his job.
Yeah, but he let you do your own thing.
Yeah,
they would do it. They would not let me. I did it on my own.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, that's
they would do it at the food court if you asked.
That's the whole reason they can't clean it up. It's complicated.
I'll have a chicken.
You should know that when you go to your food service test.
Yes,
amber on my pizza.
I'll have the Italian sausage with ear skin, please. Oh, God,
so I'm gross. Getting yesterday, 2 days ago, I go to back to the appointment, and that's when he puts the goo in the ear and gets me the mold.
That's a category, by the way.
And they will not be in my ear constantly, but they will be in the ear occasionally. Like, a great example, everybody will be able to see them out in Las Vegas when I'm in a public setting, because I will want to hear.
You'll hit the stage.
If I decide to put them in my ear.
Mike, you'll look like Britney Spears up there. Because you'll have your ear monitors in.
No, I don't think I'll have them on stage because we probably have headphones, right? No, we probably won't have headphones, right?
We won't. We shouldn't.
Then I'll probably be wearing them up on
stage. I know when my dad takes his out, if he goes for a small ride around the neighborhood, of course, he's in the Eastern Shore, and seatbelts and all laws are actually optional in the Eastern Shore. And if he's taking a small jaunt and he calls me on the phone in the car, if he doesn't have his hearing aids in, the whole conversation I hear, bung, 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 because he doesn't have a seatbelt on, but he doesn't hear the tone.
I would simply like to say this to the listening audience, mm-hmm. all right? For those of you that are fans of the show, please be aware that starting, I think it's October 26th when I picked them up, starting on October 6th, I would like people to be getting used to this sound, okay? All right, thank you.
Feedback from your ears.
Please be aware. Hi, welcome to the Mike O'Mara show. It's great to be with you, everybody.
Mike, we're picking up an AM station.
That's right.
I don't know.
You can get those special.
It's just so bad.
Don't lose them. My dad's lost his three times.
Yeah,
the best is cell phones.
The best place to keep them is in your ear. You'll not lose them if they're in your ear.
Hey, is your face getting skinnier, or what are you doing? Your face looks skinnier.
Let's not.
Did you get a surgery?
I just noticed.
No,
that.
I didn't get a surgery.
You get some
thank
sucked
you.
Out? Let's see the bottom of your chin. You got a scar there? Oh, he's nice and clean. He didn't get sucked out.
Everything's fine. Everything's just fine.
Can we see your ass?
This is the first time in years
maybe it's
I've seen
hitting that bike at 11 and a half miles per hour,
this
boys.
This is the first time I've ever seen cheekbones on you.
Thank
you look
you
great.
Much. Yeah. Damn. Yeah, people will see in Las Vegas, I am really, really fat. Anyway, so that's
but you've lost weight.
Yes, you have.
Not really. Not a lot. Anyway.
Are you doing a Rob? You can tell us 50 pounds?
No, I have not. No, I will not.
Okay.
But I am a little bit curious as to how they're going to look. He couldn't give me the little bitties that fit in the ear canal because he said the low end, which I have no problem with, would not sound natural. And this guy had his act together. So I'm, and by the way, his name was Tommy. So anybody named Tommy.
Hey, Tommy!
What's that?
Tommy McFly needed a new gig. Tommy I don't know McFly. If he made it down
hey,
there.
It's not going to help you with your low end.
Tommy McFly. I figured Tommy McFly for a lifer. I really did. That kind of radio.
No, Mike,
I thought that would be forever. Hey,
94.7 The Drive. 94.7 The Drive showed him the door.
They have any personalities on that station yet?
No, as a matter of fact, a mutual friend of ours, Chris Kynard, said they are desperate to get disc jockeys and I should send a tape over. I said, you know what? No, thank you.
Yeah.
I've driven with that.
You don't want to rent that job for 6 months before the next format change?
Well, you know what? It would be great because I figure at $7 an hour, I could really make some money.
Right. Yeah. Hey, Chris, stop poaching my talent. Okay, Baldy. Thank you very much. All right. When we
settle down, Pro-Jack.
Yeah, really. Let's go Caps. Thanks for the firing. Anyway, let's take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will speak with Jim Norton and take a little trip down memory lane. We'll be right back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Just in time for the holidays, there's now a new way for you to shop for your favorite items and support the Mike O'Mara Show at the same time. Introducing the TMOS Holiday Shopping Center. Instead of one online marketplace, there's now three great retailers to shop through. Target, Macy's, and Walmart. Click the banners from the three stores at the top of MikeOmaraShow.com and get shopping today. Your purchases help support the mission of the Mike O'Mara Show, providing laughter to those that get it, like you. The TMOS Holiday Shopping Center, another great way for you to help keep that funny train chugging along.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Wow.
Love it.
Quick turnaround. Jim Amato, you rock. Welcome back to the show. Have you ever looked at your credit card statement and been shocked by the interest rate, ladies and gentlemen? What if you could actually roll all of your credit card debt into one monthly payment at a lower fixed interest rate? Lightstream offers credit card consolidation loans from 5.89% APR with auto pay. Compare that to the average credit card interest rate over 18% APR. Get a loan from $5 to $100,000 and get your funds as soon as the day that you apply. Lightstream believes that people with good credit deserve a great interest rate and no fees. Plus, Lightstream plants a tree with every loan they fund. Lightstream is a great way to get out from under your credit card debt. I love it. Our listeners will get a special discount on top of Lightstream's already low rates. The only way to get this discount is to go to Lightstream.com/TMOS. That's Lightstream.com/TMOS. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit Lightstream.com/TMOS for more information. I am very, very excited to have this gentleman on the show. Jim Norton is someone whose name has come up through the Mike O'Mara Show a couple of times over the years. Jim has got a show coming up on November 11th at the State Theater in Falls Church as part of his Kneeling Room Only National Stand-Up Tour. I can only imagine what that means. Jim can be heard every single morning on the Jim Norton and Sam Roberts Show on Sirius. He's got so many things going on, a great Netflix special, and Jim Norton joins us right now. Jim, we finally get to meet each other. Nice to meet you on the show.
Hi, Mike. Nice to meet you. Thanks for having me on, brother.
It's good to have you here. I've got so many things to discuss with you because of the history and the whole thing with Opie and Anthony, where you were associated with them on Sirius. But now, how long have you been doing the Jim and Sam show on Sirius? You've been doing that for a while now, right?
Yeah, me and Sam have been together. I think about two years, and we are now re-upping our contract, trying to go for three more. But I believe it's been 2 years since he and I actually started. Because Opie left, Opie and I split, and I wound up sticking with Sam in the mornings. Even though I was literally, when Opie and I stopped, we just stopped liking each other. I was going to go to 10 a.m. So Opie was going to go like 7 to 10, and I was going to go 10 to 1. My contract said 10 to 1.
The dysfunction of radio is what I wanted to, if you don't mind. I mean, I want to plug your stand-up show, but I really think you're a very honest guy on your show. And when I've listened to you, you know, you lay it all out there. And with your stand-up, it's tough to make the hair on the back of my neck stand up and go, oh, my God, did he really just say that? If you're looking for somebody that's going to lay it all out there, man, Jim Norton's show will do that. You lay it all out there also in all the stuff you've done. The dysfunction of this business of radio. We go back a long way when Don and I were doing the show. We had the big fight with O&A. And just a background for my listeners. Back in the day when Don and I were on doing middays at WNEW, it got so bad that we had separate hallways that we would walk down to get to our studio. So we literally would not walk into each other. I never had a problem with Anthony. And I have to be completely honest here. I never really knew Opie all that well. But the on-air fights and it was a terrible time in my career. It was a terrible time in my life. And it was just to the point where some of the best publicity I ever got is when I think, Jimmy, you were booked to be on the show, probably after the Don and Mike show. And I think, I think that's what it was. And I said, I don't want to book him. I don't want him to come on the show. And I think I had said something like that. And then you guys discussed it, and it was a throwaway bit. But the dysfunction of this business we're in right now, the little bits that I have jumped in and paid attention on Sirius, man, it's been an interesting ride for you up at Sirius Satellite Radio with Anthony and with Opie and with all the drama up there. How have things settled in a little bit?
They have, you know, but it's funny. You're right, dude. Radio is such a weird, because it's so personal, and we have to talk for 4 hours. So any slight or anything anybody does is discussed and picked apart. It's like going over the Zapruder film. That's how everybody does it, because we have hours to kill. So radio feuds get really ugly and go really deep and last a really long time. As far as the thing with Opie, we have no relationship. In fact, somebody hit me on Twitter. She says, Opie called me a pussy. Like, he called me a pussy, like, because I stayed with him instead of going with Anthony. When the reality was, when Opie and Anthony, when Anthony got fired, I was hoping Anthony would come back to the show. I was hoping he would come back on. But yeah, Opie was right. I just didn't enjoy working with him. He's not lying about that. And, you know, he didn't enjoy working with me either. The problem with our breakup is like Anthony and I have always stayed friends, but Opie acts like a victim, like everyone was out plotting to get him. He actually said, Jimmy wouldn't give me anything in studio, like laugh-wise. It's like, hey, stupid, if your jokes were funny, I would have laughed. Like, this idiot acts like I was sitting there plotting against him. It's like, that's just not how my mind works. You know, we stopped getting along. And it was a mutual thing. We stopped liking each other. And, you know, I'm not going to be a baby and a victim about it. I'm not a victim. I'm sure I was a big part of the problem. He'll acknowledge he was a part of the problem, but he doesn't truly know how he was a part of the problem. Like, if he thinks that anybody plotted, like, he thinks that me and Sam plotted to take his show, instead of realizing he sat out for almost the entire month of August because he thinks he's Howard, and it's like, hey, you just couldn't get away with that. When they were negotiating that final deal, instead of sitting on your ass on the beach, had you been in doing radio shows, me and Sam would not have been doing radio shows, and you'd still have your morning show, and Sam and I would have went 10 to 1. Like, he's just delusional, and that's what makes him so difficult to be around.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I'm thinking when I'm listening to you, when I'm listening to you talk about it, I'm also wondering whether doing the work when you're going through that is really, really important. And the work ethic that I noticed with you guys, you know, you were, you know, saying sit out. They don't like it. No, the radio folk
different
don't like it
game.
when you're on the sidelines. That doesn't help your cause at all. I can only speak to my own personal situation, Jim, when I didn't really know Opie, but I just, you know, we got up there and suddenly we had given up our afternoon show to get the New York and the Philadelphia clears. And suddenly it becomes shtick and we're this is going on. And it was terrible and it got worse and worse. And management did nothing to defuse us, like get us in a room together and all that. And I remember, you know, when we first got up to New York, sitting there and talking with Anthony, and Anthony and I got along really, really well. You know, he was an impressionist. I was an impressionist. We were doing that. Don and Opie were, you know, butted heads. And then I don't know if you remember it way back when Don called in when we were up in New York to the Opie and Anthony show. Were you in the studio when that was going on and they hung up on him like five times?
I remember the call.
Oh,
I remember
God.
The incident, but I think I was in the studio. I remember the incident, but it's
right.
A vague memory. And it's like, I probably was there though, because I was there for most things.
It was the memory I have of it was listening to it and saying to myself, oh my God, I wish we were on the other side of that, because it would have been so funny if we were the people doing it. And you know, Don and I went in separate directions and we've moved on. And it's just people in this business, you know, we're all in show business in a way. And I think people, obviously, it's a cliche that people are insecure in show business. Radio people, it's you're so right about the picking it apart and the feuds become magnified. But we're all broken in one way or another. And it's just hysterical to think. I remember the thoughts I had walking down the hallway. I said, if I see Opie, I swear to God, I'm going to give him a right hand right in the temple. I'm going to knock him down. I didn't feel that way about Anthony, because Anthony was nice to me and I had a chat. But Opie was always this kind of distant guy. And I didn't know that. And then when you guys were really open about your relationship, you did it right on the air. It was delightfully awkward when I would listen and listen to you guys talk about that. And I just don't know where it comes from him, but it's almost to me that he surrounded himself with some very funny people like you and Anthony and the comedians that would come on. But he was great at the fighting and great at the bitter. He was kind of an unhappy dude, and maybe it sounds like he still might be.
Well, here's the Opie's fatal flaw, is that he can be, there's two versions of Opie. There's the version of Opie when he's comfortable. And when he's comfortable, he's a really fun guy to be around. Like, I love that guy. I like doing radio with that guy. I like traveling with that guy. I've spent hours with him, months, years, whatever. But the insecure version of him, when he watches everybody in the room being funny and he doesn't feel like he fits in. He doesn't feel like he belongs there. And he can deny that, but I've been around funny people my whole career.
Right.
When he's insecure, he's awful. Because he turns into a baby and he turns resentful of people who are being funny around him. And comics pick that up in a second when someone is being a little passive aggressive because they're jealous because they're not as funny as the other people in the room. If he had just relaxed and enjoyed it, you know, he would have been much more fun to be around. I'm sure he has his complaints about me. I can only tell you that me and Anthony have remained very close. You know what I mean? It's like he's just unable to see it, and I don't care if he ever sees it. Like, I have no interest in helping him see it. Let him say what he wants and feel how he wants. It's irrelevant to me, you know. But it's funny. I've talked to so many guys who we fought with because I've gone on Lex and Terry, so many other countless shows on the road that we've had fights with. I'm on the road, and all of a sudden I'll walk in. They'll be like, "Do you remember what you said about us?" I'm like, "No, I have no idea that we've even attacked them." So, you know, I actually love talking to those shows that we fought with. It's fun, you know, years later.
That's funny, too. I think that the relationship there was it was very brief, but it was very passionate, at least on my end. I can't speak for Don. I don't speak to Don that often anymore, if at all. And it's very, you know, you kind of move on in this business. There's really no other way that I can handle it is the, you know, you kind of move forward and keep moving forward with that. What I do remember is how painful it was, and it was difficult because, you know, we were going up to, you know, to the big city. We were going to New York. This is our break. This is what we were trying to do. And yeah, it was nobody's fault but our own. It didn't translate to the midday show, and that was it. Then I followed it in a very bitter, angry, and jealous way afterwards. I was like, oh, did they do that? And then Sex for Sam came down the road. I'm like, ha! Oh, yeah. They got fired. Thank God. Thank God. I was psyched about that. And then over the years, I've kind of paid attention to it a little bit and watched the progress and, you know, everything that went on. A question before I want to talk about you and your special and everything else, but about Anthony Comeia. So, Anthony, do you think Anthony's meltdowns and his kind of public pain that everybody witnessed, do you think that was born out of that relationship a little bit? Because I know when you're working with somebody and it's difficult and there's, you know, it's every day, it's out there for everybody to see. Do you think a lot of his issues came from a level of pain he was experiencing in that show?
You know, they were both volatile. All three of us were volatile before we walked in. Like, Opie didn't make me volatile or make Anthony a disaster, and Anthony didn't make either of us that way. We all came in broken. And I think we brought out at times the most extreme or the worst of each other. But no, that one I'll have to say, that was probably Anthony just having too much to drink and being on the street and having an argument and tweeting. I don't think that had anything to do with Opie, to be honest with you. That was just Ant having a bad night and probably having one too many. And then, you know, thank God Twitter didn't exist when I was drinking, because I know so many people have ruined their lives and careers on Twitter. So no, that was just, I think, Anthony being drunk and tweeting.
I want to ask you a question about the idea of moving on to Sirius Satellite. And this is kind of a real inside radio thing, but I'm curious from my own perspective here. Did you feel additional when you made the move into the Satellite? You're a stand-up guy. You know, everybody's familiar with your body of work. That's the way you operate. Probably easier for you. Did you feel any more pressure going to Sirius where it was uncensored to, you know, that now people are going to expect you to be more over the top, more on the edge when that first went down? I was always curious about guys that made the move to Sirius and what that would be like.
You know, when we first went over, I guess the freedom was something we weren't used to having. So I think that's a huge part of it. Like, you just, the fact that you could talk the way you talk off air, on the air, you know, everyone probably used it more than we had to for the first year or whatever.
Right.
But
right.
After a while, it just becomes the nature of the way you're talking. And it just, like, one of the greatest advantages to be on Satellite, we were on XM before the merger, was when the Pat O'Brien tapes came out. Do you remember those when he was talking, you know, hey, if you want to have a threesome with me, Betsy and the dog, wink.
Right.
You know, when
right.
Pat had his...
I remember that.
It was uncensored, and nobody else could play them uncensored. So that was when we realized, like, wow, those, the Mel Gibson tapes, all these great, funny things that we were able to make fun of that came out. That was the advantage to Satellite. And the fact that we could talk for 45, 50 minutes without a break. That became even more important than us being able to curse, was the fact that we could just address things or play things naturally without constantly beeping them. But yeah, I'm sure at first we took it more advantage than we needed to, sure.
We're talking to Jim Norton. Jim's got a show coming up November 11th at the State Theater in Falls Church. It's part of his Kneeling Room Only national stand-up tour. If you want more information on this, to get your tickets, go to eatabullet.com. I didn't read that until just now. Eatabullet.com. How's your head, Jim? How's everything going in your world? Everything going well?
It's good, man. Yeah, and you can just go to JimNorton.com. Eat a bullet I used years ago because there was JimNorton.com was taken. Like these Chinese cyber squatters had it. So we didn't have anything. So I just changed it to Eat a Bullet. Seems to just kind of fit my outlook. But yeah, things are fine on my end. Things are good.
Oscar, I know you're a big fan of Jim. I know you wanted to
Jim,
talk to him.
Well, we've had the pleasure of having you in studio a handful of times on Big O and Dukes, and we had you on when we were on WJFK. We had you on the podcast. I know that Chad Dukes versus the World has you on an afternoon show. What I wanted to ask you about, first I want to mention that I'm a big fan of Chip Chipperson, and that man is a king amongst kings. What he does on YouTube and his podcast, so if you're out there, make sure. Chip Chipperson, a good friend of Jim Norton. Big fan.
It really is funny, too, and what a blabbermouth Chip is. Like, I blab so much of my personal life through Chip. It really is mental illness, and it's like, it became this, I started with this thing I think I did to, like, to torture girlfriends, because they would be so humiliated by this character, and then all of a sudden I did it on the air, and it resonated with people. But thank you, man, I appreciate that. It's by far the most successful thing I do, and sooner or later, Jim Norton will be killed off, and Chip will be the only remnants of me left.
That's funny. I'm jumping on that.
I wanted to follow that up with you both, and as a radiophile, I love those ONA, Don and Mike Wars. You guys live them. And then I follow the iterations of what now is Faction Talk. And as a morning show, I wanted to ask you your take on, and look, I've met Sam before, great guy.
Sure.
What it's like to work from personality to personality to personality, because like, as you mentioned before, you have to work off each other. And I listen to you guys in the morning coming into this program, and the show has evolved, and you're hitting on all eight. I love it.
Well, thank you, man. You know, it's funny. After Opie and Anthony, the chemistry I thought was great with all of us. When Opie and I worked together, it stunk. He knew it stunk, and I knew it stunk. So the fact is, anything after him was going to be great. Like, no matter who they put me with. And Sam and I already knew each other well, and I do think he's really funny. So I had it was just like an easy transition to make from a show I hated doing to a show I love doing. And I'll say that Opie probably felt the same way. When he went to Afternoons with Vic Henley and Sherrod, he probably enjoyed that a lot more than me, and I'm sure he's enjoying his podcast more. So it's not just that I hated working with him, he hated working with me too. You know, it did work both ways. So jumping in with Sam was great. And you know, I'll tell you what ended the Don and Mike feud for us was when Frida passed away, when Don's wife had the car accident,
right,
we were just
right.
kind of done fighting. I remember we were just like, these are stupid radio fights, but we have no more issue with those guys at all. You have to walk away when something like that happens. So whenever that was when that whole thing ended for us.
Yeah, I hope I'm looking to end it maybe by Christmas this year. I think that
that's when you'll let it go.
That's when I'm going to let it go. I'll let it go. No, I'm still going to wish
part
Opie
of a,
ill.
A better 19.
I'm going to wish Opie ill will until then. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I don't. But you do. You tweak it up. What Jim said at the beginning is you tweak it up and then it kind of lingers. And I would always like pay attention. And when you pay attention to somebody that you've had a fight with or somebody you don't like, you do it in such a way as, hey, what'd they do? Oh, something bad happened? Oh, yeah. Okay, let me check. It's like, Jimmy and Opie are fighting. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. You know, it's like, so that, I mean, I'd be lying if I said that wasn't there. I don't think about it like I used to. It's simply because I'm getting old. That's really that's the reason. Rob, I know you had a question for Jim Norton.
Jim, a question about your so many stand-ups make a great transition as actors, and I know that you did work on Louis C.K.'s first sitcom, and we've seen you on Crashing and Inside Amy Schumer, and now I read you're in a movie with Robert De Niro and Al Pacino. That's pretty.
I know it was De Niro. Pacino's in it too.
Pacino, De Niro, Harvey Keitel, Pesci.
Oh, my God. You must be out of your mind.
That's the big leagues. How do you feel it is, or why do you feel it is, that stand-ups can make that transition to acting, and was it easy for you to do it?
Well, in fairness, the movie's called The Irishman, and I play a young Don Rickles, and I'm doing a stage thing where I'm playing Rickles. I think one reason comedians can make that jump is because we're used to making like asses out of ourselves.
Yeah.
So you're not as afraid when you act because you're used to making choices that could make people hate your guts. Like on stage, you're constantly making a choice that could make people think you stink. So doing it in front of a director and 10 people is not as scary. But yeah, Scorsese directed this, and I played Rickles in a nightclub scene, and Pesci and De Niro are in my scene. It was surreal. Like, I walked into the room. It was an empty room, except De Niro, Pesci, and Martin Scorsese were having a conversation about what they had just shot. It was really, it's like you're looking at Raging Bull. So it was a very surreal experience. De Niro I had worked with on other stuff, so I was kind of comfortable with him. And Scorsese is an amazingly nice guy. He was everyone on the set felt good when he was there because he's not a yeller or a screamer. Pesci I was a little nervous about because I didn't know him. So it's like you're doing something with Joe Pesci, you don't want to screw it up. But it was great, man. Hopefully I just don't get cut out of the movie.
You know, I think that when you see those names, and for all of us boys that grow up and you're thinking of Goodfellas and all that, it's just, I think there's a bravery that comes into stand-up where you have to throw the fear out the window. And you know, I've never done it. I've opened for comedians. I don't think it counts when you're up there doing a full stand-up act. Your real life obviously informs a lot of your comedy, and I don't know why I'm compelled to ask you this question, but how's your love life right now?
You know, it's uneventful right now. It goes on, it goes off. I date sporadically. For some reason, at age 50, man, I don't know if I'm ever going to have anything long term. I don't know if I'm looking for something that doesn't exist or if I'm just too stuck in my ways, but I get too impatient. Like, literally, if I ask someone for an ass photo and they don't send it, I block them. And I'm like, I can't keep operating that way.
How's Chip's love life?
Better than mine. Better than mine, because at least Chip is smart enough to lie about it. I'm too stupid to lie about it, so I just tell the truth and go, no, I got nothing.
I always think when I watch you on stage, I say, you know, if you did settle down, if you did go the traditional route, and you got yourself a nice woman, stayed in a long-term relationship, and God forbid got married, I picture you say, like waking up in a cold sweat thinking, this will ruin everything that I've done in my career. I will no longer have a career if I get married. Have you those thoughts ever entered your mind?
I have been afraid if I'm happy, will I still be funny? But if I was married, I'm sure that I would wind up cheating and lousing it up. So if I cheated and loused it up, I would at least have something to talk about. But yeah, you're right. That does occur to you. Like, what am I going to do now if I'm married and I have a good life? How will I still talk about what is there to push back against? I guess I would have to, find something or hope she cheated on me so I could just talk about that.
You know, keep hope alive.
Jim's gonna be at the State Theater coming up here on November 11th. The thing that jumps in my mind is if I saw Magic Johnson in there waving at me, I wouldn't wear a condom. I one of the greatest lines. One of the greatest lines, I think, in the history. If you could ever make it any clearer that you don't intend to put the bag on, that would be that would be it. It's unbelievable. And Richard Pryor, I see the similarities where it says on your bio that that's one of your great influences, seeing him in concert with that level of edginess. And then a lot of people might not know about Jim is that Jim, you haven't had a drink since like high school, right? High school age, isn't that right?
I was 18, yeah. I quit very, very young. I only drank for a few years, so I got sober when I was 18, and it just stuck, and it stayed with me through my entire adult life, which is good, because I'm such a compulsive idiot. Like, when you see guys screwing things up, like, I would have done that. Anything you see people do on Twitter or causing a problem on a set or missing work because they're hungover, I would have done that. So I got real lucky real young.
Yeah, and you didn't have to go through it in your adult life. You got it out of the way. When did you start? I mean, I'm curious, like that, and I don't want to get too heavy on you right here, but when you started doing that, you just discovered booze, and it was a love affair at first with your addictive personality, or how do you get to be that much of an alky at that young age? It's weird for me. It's taken me years to develop my alcoholism, Jim.
Normally, alcoholism is a slow burn. For me, it was right out of the gate. I think I was born with whatever gene makes you that way. But the very first time I got drunk, I wound up taking a box cutter and going to a Pathmark and pulling a box cutter on this guy I went to high school with because I didn't like how he shook my hand. Like, I think my mental illness also contributed to the fact that I was a problem. It just wasn't a good combination.
talk about we'll keep it just for a couple more minutes, but talk about the Unfiltered podcast with Matt Serra. That's doing gangbusters, right? Is that still on, doing well?
We do well, yeah, man. It's really fun. I do that twice a week, usually on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And you know, I know Dana for a long time. And years ago, Dana had said to me, one day we're going to work together. And so I always had in my SiriusXM contract that I could do an MMA podcast. And one day he just called me. Like, Dana's crazy. He just called me and he goes, hey, do you want to do the podcast with Matt Serra? And he told me what the money was. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And that's how I got hired. We're in our third year. We do quite well. And the UFC is pretty happy with it. And look, Matt is the guy who knows all the technical stuff. He knows a lot more about fighting than I do. I'm come more from I'm funny and I'm a fan, and that's kind of the perspective I point. I kind of guide the interviews, and Matt does all the technical stuff. But it really
Do you do any workouts that are like fighting, like Joe Rogan does? Do you do any of that, or do you are you just a spectator?
No, dude, I'm a spectator. But I mean, there's a fighter named Jimmy Rivera, who's a really really savage bantamweight, who's been telling me come by my place because he has a place on the block I live on. In New York, so I'm like, I have to go and start training because I walk by his place literally 5 days a week. So I got to start. Henzo Gracie has invited me to come train at his place in the 30s, and I just haven't because I'm just lazy. So I got to go do it because I have access to these great fighters.
Well, you know, before we let you go, as far as Sirius and all the people up there, I'm just curious if any of the old guard from CBS Infinity, going way back, are still at Sirius, because I know a lot of them with the Mel Karmazan made the transition up. Is Jeremy Coleman still working there? Is he still up there?
I see Jeremy three or four times a week. I think he's running Howard's channel, think he's doing something for Stern. He was at one point. He was in charge of talk or something. They went over to Howard. I'm not exactly sure what his talk, but he's still there, and I still see him pretty often.
Say hello for me. Tim Sabian, is he still up there?
No, Tim is working at Westwood One now, so him and the Opster are working together. So Godspeed to those. Yeah,
excuse my French, match made in f***ing heaven there, that's for sure. I swear to God, Tim Sabian. Yeah. When you said, hey, it's Tim Sabian. Yeah, how's that working out? Yeah, good luck. We'll get back into syndication. That should work really well. Hey, Jim, good talking to you. Continue.
You too,
man. You have so much going on. It's tough to keep track of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let me just, would it be safe to say, unless you have a really, really, really open-minded mom, you might not want to take her to this show. It's just my own opinion on that. But, with the whole Magic Johnson and the vagina thing, I can't get over that one. It's kneeling room only. That's his stand-up tour. And you're coming to the State Theater. Have you done the State before? Have you been on the stage of the State Theater before?
I used to do it a lot, actually. I haven't done it in probably 10 years. But, yeah, I love that gig, and I have
Great
not
room.
Done it in a long time. But, yeah, that was the gig I used to do in the D.C. market would be the State Theater.
Get your tickets. Go see Jim. It's going to be awesome, and continued success. If you ever get through town and you can come to our D.C. studios, we'd love to get you in studio. And nice, after all the history, and really not that you were all that involved with, but nice to finally meet you, and I wish you nothing but the best
you
of
too.
Luck, Jim.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I look forward to it. I'd love to come in, and we'll do it in person, man. It was good talking to you guys.
Love it.
Really,
thanks
really
a lot.
Thanks, Jim.
You.
Take care.
All right, take care. Bye.
That's Jim Norton, and that was a little bit of a purge, a little psychotherapy.
Yeah,
we are running so incredibly late.
I know.
We have to take a break. We'll come back with something very quick, and then we'll do the news you may not need, and then something quick, and we'll...
Do you like the Mike O'Mara bonus show?
I've been a big fan.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Brought to you by Stamps.com. Nowadays, you get everything on demand. TV, car rides, food, even our podcast. You listen to us whenever it's convenient for you. So why are you still going to the post office when you can get postage on demand with Stamps.com? With Stamps.com, you can do everything you do at the post office right from your desk 24/7 when it's convenient for you.
Oh, for you.
Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer, and your mailman picks it up. It's that easy. No lines, no parking hassles. Just click, print, mail, and you're done. It couldn't be easier. And you can create a Stamps.com account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. We've used Stamps.com since the start of this podcast because it saves time, hassle, and money. Right now, use the TMOS code for a special offer that includes up to $55 and free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, and enter TMOS. You'll wonder how you got along without it. We will have to do it tomorrow, but I'm not going to forget the fact that you forgot your wedding anniversary, your first wedding anniversary, you soulless monster.
Yeah.
One of many, Mike. One of many.
well, one of many things you're going to forget, or one of many anniversaries. I mean,
does it, Matt? Wouldn't you rather have a great second wedding anniversary than just a subpar first wedding
anniversary? I'd like to weigh in. I would say the first
you can
is
weigh
more
in tomorrow, because we don't have any time, and that's right. The spin he's going with, and he better rethink that overnight when he prepares to talk about this tomorrow.
There's no
on the
talking
show.
Point. Love is not. Man. Love is not a Hallmark holiday.
Hey, you know, I'm sorry I got distracted. I sure do love this. Can you turn this song up, man? Is this Billy Preston? Is this Space Race?
Yeah, I play this for you, man.
Yeah, original 1975 audition tape, everybody. How you doing? WDRC, where your friends are. How about that Jim Norton, huh? Yeah, he cemented the fact that Opie, one hell of a guy. I sure remember that guy. Terrific to deal with. Glad he's working with our friend Tim Sabian. Oh, boy. Yeah, that was super fun. Hey, when we come back, everybody, we're going to have news you may not need.
News.
And let me take this opportunity to say congratulations to the Boston Red Sox moving on to the ALCS. And thank you, Craig Kimbrell, for giving me a cardiac arrest in the ninth inning last night and making me stay up till 2 in the morning. We'll be right back, everybody.
Why would any self-respecting Buffalo sports fan open a Buffalo-themed restaurant in Herndon, Virginia? Because Jimmy's Old Town Tavern is perfectly located between the world's finest chickens and the world's finest Buffalo spices. Who writes this stuff? Have 6 drinks and listen to the Cookies and Cake Show. And remember, Jimmy's is still accepting donations for our endless wing construction projects. Buy a brick. It'll be okay.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our brand new Holiday Shopping Center.
Ah, yes.
A change is coming to the Mike O'Mara Show. We couldn't be more excited. We are proud to announce the TMOS Holiday Shopping Center, your 3-in-1 shopping destination. I bought kids' magnets.
Ooh.
I bought a whiteboard for my son.
Ooh.
And I bought a dozen Srixon golf balls from Walmart.com with a great price. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. 3-for-1 shopping, including Macy's.com, Target.com, and Walmart.com. You already love these sites, but now they're even better, because now when you shop them through our portal, you're supporting the Mike O'Mara Show. You can shop like every day is a holiday. Just make sure you access Macy's, Target, and Walmart through their banners on our website. You can't miss them. Forget that other thing we used to tell you, okay?
Boo.
That's gone.
History.
That's dead.
New.
They are dead to us now.
Dead.
Dead.
Dead, okay. Dom. Dead, it's dead,
not,
dead.
It's not the company that begins with an A anymore. It's Macy's, Target, and Walmart.
Acme?
That's how you help TMOS during the holidays. We're delighted with our new partners. Change is good. So if you need it, buy it right now by clicking through at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Cost you nothing, means the world to us. Macy's, Target, Walmart, and TMOS, the fearsome foursome of online shopping excellence. Now go spend money. And when you click on it on our website, make sure Pony fixes that little that I saw yesterday. There was a little
No, I don't like a bleh.
Pony, are you fixing that little bleh that I saw? You know what I'm talking about? A little bleh when I went to it.
What is it, bleh?
Yeah. Glad you're on it. Always. All right. Thank you very much.
That's terrific. An excellent technical term. A bleh.
Yeah, bleh,
this
yes.
Pony, let me just quickly, just briefly give you a lesson in life.
Mm.
On top of it, Mike.
Yes.
Moving
there you
on.
Go. Thank you very
Not
much.
What
news.
Is
news.
Thank you.
Now I got to look.
Very good. Yes, sir. This should be interesting. Kanye West will have lunch with President Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, at the White House tomorrow.
Oh, that'll be nice.
And believe it or not, they plan to talk about more than just Kanye West and President Trump.
I don't believe that for a moment.
Kanye wants to talk about increasing the number of manufacturing jobs in his native Chicago, as well as more job opportunities for former convicts. Very noble. Hope he gets it done. Kushner, this guy, has been working on overhauling the criminal justice system. And he was present during Trump's meeting with Kim Kardashian.
Well,
isn't
good.
It funny that he brings Kushner in, the young guy, right?
Well, it's like,
bring
he's be
Jared
like,
in. Bring Jared in.
He there knows about emojis and young things, and he'll serve as an interpreter.
Yeah, good luck. I hope they have a good time. Taylor Swift had a big night at the American Music Awards. She and her giant snake kicked off the show with a performance of I Did Something Bad, and she became the most awarded female artist ever by picking up 4 awards, including Artist of the Year. After winning that one, she made one of the few political statements of the night. She said, quote, "This award and every single award given out tonight were voted on by the people. And you know what else is voted on by the people? The midterm elections on November 6th. Get out and vote." So she was telling everybody to vote. She's been very political of late. When you feel like something is medically wrong with you, they always say that the last thing you should do is Google your symptoms.
True.
But maybe this is worse. Or maybe it's best for me because I'll watch it.
Yeah.
TNT, working on a new reality show where a studio audience will help diagnose people's illnesses on live TV. The show is called MD Live, and it'll have a panel of legitimate medical professionals. It doesn't say doctor.
No.
It says legitimate medical professionals.
It could be a pharmacist and a receptionist from a medical office.
They will be trying to diagnose actual patients, but they'll also ask the live audience for feedback, solutions, and support. If you're a hypochondriac, this is your show, people.
This reminds me of, do you remember there was a plot arc in Seinfeld where Kramer and Mickey the Dwarf had a job acting out as sick people, and they had to present the symptoms? You could do like that.
Well, we're not talking hangnails and rashes here. The patients will be dealing with legit issues, which in some cases can be life-threatening. So TNT says they will, quote, have a top bioethicist to ensure the medical team is able to provide the best patient-forward support. So they will be doing that.
Update. We found the blah.
Oh, was I right?
You're absolutely right, Mike.
Yeah,
absolutely right.
No one told me we had it. I found it. Yeah, that's it. There we go.
Pony.
Anyway.
Why was the blah happening?
It's called an autoloader. It's a plug-in that basically auto-loads images with a little stand-in.
Oh, it looks like it's taking an auto-load S on our website. Can you turn it off?
I just killed it.
Thank you very much.
There you go.
By the way, why would we ever want the blah on our website?
Well, it's not something that normally creates the blah. But because we have three stacked images like that, it's very, very technical.
And by the way, Pony, the reason I did that was to give you an actual audio description of what the problem was on the website.
I appreciate
it. I hope
we
can fix it. Thanks. CYW. Check your work. There's a guy in London named Dale Leakes, and over the weekend, he and his girlfriend, Kelly Greaves, were at a shop buying horse riding accessories, and she used a horse whip to hit him on the butt.
Yeah.
British people, am I right?
It's a category, yeah. am I right?
So to get his revenge, he pulled his own prank. He listed her for sale on eBay.
I saw this ad, and this lady, let me tell you. She looked like what the ad said.
Yeah,
really?
Absolutely. The posting was obviously a joke, and he described her like a used car with lines like, quote, "Starts okay, but after a while there's a constant whining noise. I can't seem to stop," and quote, "Body work is fairly tidy, but close-up shows signs of wear." Well, somehow he accidentally sparked a bidding war. And the price for Kelly got up to $119,000.
Wow.
I love this. Before eBay pulled the ad 24 hours later, they said it broke their policy against selling human body parts or remains. Thanks,
well,
eBay.
Well, you know what? I mean, she's neither parts nor remains. She's a real thing.
No, she's a human being.
Yes.
She's a human being.
That's right.
I am not an animal.
Look
Dale
away.
And Kelly say there aren't any hard feelings between them after the post, but Kelly says she may be looking to pull another prank for revenge. A plank or a prank. Thank you. According to a new study, sleeping too much is just as bad as sleeping too little. The researchers found that people who slept for 4 or 5 hours a night would perform on tests like their brains were 9 years older. But they saw the same effect on people who slept for over 10 hours a night, too. I think that's telling us what we already know. If you sleep too long, you wake up all logy
you
and
sleep
out of it.
8 hours. Right? One-third of your life you should sleep.
What's too long sleeping feel like? I don't know.
I think I don't...
About 10 hours,
I
13 hours? No, because you wake up because you got a baby.
Yeah, I haven't had it in a decade. No. I don't know. I don't
a
know
lot of times
like.
You wake up just because the judge shows are on.
The biggest abilities you lose when you sleep too much or too little are your reasoning and verbal skills. So it's probably best not to get into a serious argument or negotiation when you're super tired or super well rested. And now, ladies and gentlemen, a little something something.
Good.
There's a 44-year-old guy. His name is Barton Bishop.
Hey.
Barton's from Louisville, Kentucky, and he was arrested back in July for stealing various things, but the biggest thing that he stole and the most plentiful thing he stole were garden gnomes. He stole them from people's yards. Dozens of them. Dozens of garden gnomes. Barton was due in court a few weeks ago to face 67 counts of receiving stolen property, but he never showed up. So now there's a warrant out for his arrest, and the Louisville police are looking for help tracking him down. That's right. He's a wanted man on the run all over a bunch of gnomes. Now, listen, I have some tips for the police. You know, I love law enforcement and I support them. If they really want to find this guy, I suggest searching in hollow trees, under bridges,
yes,
and at the end of any rainbow. And also, he isn't traveling fast because he always stops to smell the roses. That's two gnome jokes in one news. We'll take a break. Come back with the Audio Vault. I like hollow trees.
Yeah.
We'll come back with more fun. The Audio Vault, Rob Spiewak, right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. Caution, ladies and gentlemen, the promo starts now. O'Reilly here. Hey, did you know the Mike O'Meara Show is always looking for interns? Did you know that? Huh? Did you know that? Well, you should. Of course they are. Yep. You know, interns, they show up, they get coffee, they help out. You know the drill. And if you're a college kid and you want to get your foot in the broadcast door, just email your resume and a letter of intent to Rob, that's with two B's, at MikeO'MearaShow.com. That's Spiewak Kid. He's your liaison. Spiewak! Best of all, every intern at TMOS is treated with respect and class, a professional environment. And if that part doesn't matter to you, I have a podcast too. Come intern at The Factor, where things can get a little handsy. Know what I mean? We'll do it live! Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, brought to you by the TMOS Bonus Packages, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, sir, Ernie Anderson, late to the show. Do you say autumn or do you call it fall? Either way, it's the festive seasonal linkage betwixt the dog days of summer and old man winter's chilly rain. I have to give this sentence just a... Either way, it's the festive seasonal linkage betwixt the dog days of summer and old man winter's chilly rain in the meteorological driver's seat.
It's true.
He writes that for me because he knows I can handle it. Sometimes I got to start over, though. But it always makes me think of you buying a goddamn bonus show. There's no better time, so please, get off your ass, you nitwit. Sign up for the TMOS bonus show right now. Remember, the future of our show depends on it. Besides, you don't know what you're missing. It's the most fun we have each week, and it still has that yummy flavor that's reminiscent of a mug of hot spiced apple cider. In my pants!
What?
Gourds. Just go to MikeO'MearaShow.com, click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all our bonus content, and you'll be helping TMOS. So please, use your head for something other than a hat rack, all right? Make the smart play and buy the bonus show. In my pants.
In
I
my
can hear
pants.
Your big daddy saying that. Hey, use your head for something other than a hat rack.
I believe it came from him, yes.
Oh, did it really?
That's yeah.
Oh, that's the wrong sound. Sorry, let me do this. Let's open up the Audio Vault for Wednesday, Oct 10. 2018, Rob Spiewak.
We were just talking gnomes. What about trolls, man? What about trolls?
Ooh, treasure trolls?
The Red Sox trolled the Yankees. This is the song they played in their locker room after they beat the Yankees last night. Which I think is pretty funny.
Jicks.
That is funny.
So that was going on down there.
Can
Meanwhile,
I say something nice about Yankees? I'll rarely do it.
Can you?
Those fans last night at that game, as far as supporting their team, that were down for the entire, like, two games. They got crushed in the third game, and then in the fourth game, they were down for the almost the entire, they were down for the entire game. And they hung in there, they stayed in the stadium, they made me nervous. The fans actually made me
good fan
nervous
base, right?
As a Red Sox fan. And then Craig Kimbrell came in and almost poopadoed his pantadoed, and it was horrible. I felt
antidote.
4-1 going into the ninth inning, the game in hand with the number one closer on the mound for the Red Sox, and he gives up one run, gives up another run, and I had those old horrible
those feelings.
Bucky and the TBS crew, you dick, for showing the picture of Bucky Dent throwing out the first pitch, you bastards, you New York-centric TBS hack, Ron Darling sucks ass announcing team, bye-bye. Get ready for some professional announcers. Thank you very much.
That's right. Soon you'll be complaining about Joe Buck.
Yeah, well, but you know what? I can complain about Joe Buck, but Joe Buck is a professional.
That's true. You got to give him
he
that.
He is a professional, but I'll tell you, that crew was like, and here's a picture. It goes in the ninth inning. Here's a picture of Bucky Dent. Are you kidding me?
Well,
how about a little? Could
they
not have been rooting for the Yankees anymore, those two?
Of course.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. Sorry. Bye-bye.
Transparent.
Anyway, we had a guest yesterday here, Mike, with a Red Sox hat on, and I started talking about the game. He goes, don't want to jinx it.
Oscar. The feelings of all that pain.
It is so common.
With 1978, and all of a sudden they show Bucky Dent. That's like a giant FU to Red Sox fans. But
Mike,
anyway.
I want you to have a good day, so I'm going to play you one of your favorite songs. But a new take on one of your favorite songs. Because yesterday, 78th birthday of John Lennon, and to observe it, someone covered the song Imagine. And this song will actually be coming out on this artist LP. It drops this Friday. It's called Warzone. Here is Yoko Ono singing Imagine.
Oh, no.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Sorry,
why?
Yoko.
Why would
I know it's your husband. She's not ever been clued in at all.
I like, just to show you, Oscar, it could be worse.
Didn't she do like a spoken word one that was really terrifying?
Well, no, I want you to go back to the Dick Cavett show. She did a song on the Dick Cavett show. It's an upbeat record. It's called We Are All Water. Wait for it.
I'm looking up how old she is.
She's probably 80.
What's the one we used to play on the Don and Mike show?
Oh, don't worry. Don't worry, Kyoko. Mama's only looking for her hand in the snow by the Plastic Ono Band. That's a good one, too.
She's just going,
I like playing that Dick Cavett cut because remember, Dick Cavett was the more intellectual show.
Yeah. Hey, I just still wonder if you could sing your song, Yoko. Well, that would be really nice that you could do that.
She can't still make money off of that, right?
Oh, yeah, she does. Yeah.
Yeah, she does. Yeah. Yoko, that's sad. I'm sorry. That
it
sucks.
Let us close with this. As a lot of people, even my mom was excited about this, the 63-yard field goal that Graham Gano kicked against the Giants.
Gano.
Okay, very good. From the Panthers. That was a very exciting moment.
Who partied with that guy right here?
You did?
How'd you do that?
Yeah, on the Sequoia. On the Sequoia.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I got a picture of him somewhere.
Man.
Well, the 63-yard field goal was exciting if you saw it on TV, but not
great
quite.
Great guy, too. Really nice man, Graham Gano. Very nice guy.
Not as exciting as if you happen to be listening to the Carolina Panthers Spanish broadcast. Here is the Spanish call of that field goal from Sunday. Good.
Le ha sobrado distancia, le van a servir. Tiene altura, tiene profundidad, va a llegar, ganó, lo ganó, 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 señor, ganó, lo ganó, ganó, lo ganó, yo sí le voy a los Panthers, taca, 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 yo sí le voy a los Panthers, taca, 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 taca.
Oscar, what was he saying?
That's the greatest.
Love
that's,
my
I
people.
Think that was more than I even expected. That's
I love,
fantastic.
You wouldn't see Sam ever do that. Ever, ever, ever for Redskins game. Ever, 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 ever,
that
ever,
is
ever,
fantastic.
Ever, ever, ever. He
I
was
love
saying,
that.
Gano lo gano, gano, he won it, right?
Okay, yeah.
Gano is
one
his last
one more time,
name.
Rob. One more time on that, please.
And
thank
by
you.
The way, I got the name of the guy who's doing that. His name is Sam Rosen. He works for Fox. No, it's not really Sam Rosen. I'm kidding.
Le ha sobrado distancia. Le van a servir. Tiene altura, tiene profundidad, va a llegar, va a llegar. ¡Ganó, lo ganó! 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 ¡Señor! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Ganó, lo ganó! ¡Yo sí le voy a los Panthers! ¡Taca, taca, 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 taca! ¡Yo sí le voy a los Panthers! ¡Taca, taca, 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 taca!
It's up.
I love
it's
it.
It's good. That is your magic
by the way,
cardio
that is
ball.
The, thank you very much. That's actually that's the actual same sound that Oscar made when we got the Target affiliation.
That's right. It's exactly
it was wonderful.
Right.
It was very, very exciting. That's it. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to Jim Norton. Check him out at the State Theater. Thanks for joining us for another episode. If you have a message for our Tuesday mailbag, send it to Rob with two Bs at MikeOmeraShow.com. Mailing address, TMOS Box 32-101, Washington, D.C. Coming up, remember, voting, engine of freedom and democracy, and requires your participation. Please, please, please remember to register and vote. It really does matter. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for the best part of your day, the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Today's episode of the Mike O'Mara Show has been brought to you by Back to the 80s, the world's greatest comedy murder mystery show. It's a hilarious 1980s themed mystery starring Justin Schlegel, Robin Joe, plus Mike, Rob, and Oscar from the Mike O'Mara Show. Select audience members get to play parts in the show, and everyone gets to guess who the murderer is. Saturday, November 3rd at 7 p.m. in the Zappos Council Chambers Theater in Las Vegas, Nevada. For tickets, click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Back to the 80s. Drink, laugh, solve a murder.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Okay. Come on.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
If I-